I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. This is a significant passage, and I think it touches on some of the things that the Beatitudes are talking about, and certainly what Jesus is talking about when he gives his Sermon on the Mount. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who were called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at one time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and its ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death the hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access to the one Spirit, to the Father. We're in the one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the prophets, and Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. And then the Beatitudes, which we've read every week. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, as we ponder your word today, I pray that by your Spirit you would guide our thinking and open our hearts and minds to what these passages have to say to us this day. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Well, Henry and Helga were an elderly Swedish couple who had been married for 60 years, and they were known for their bitter fights and arguments, and every day they fought like cats and dogs. And on their 60th wedding anniversary, they began the morning with another terrible spat, and they argued all day long. At the end of the day, Helga said to Henry, "Henry, tonight I think when we pray, we better pray for peace. We have been fighting for 60 years, Henry. May the Lord give us peace. So tonight I think I'll pray that the Lord will take you home and I'll go live with my sister Olga." Well, that's one way to pray for peace. But I'm not quite sure that that's what Jesus had in mind when he talks about peacemaking. Most conflicts do get resolved in one way or another, but let's hope and pray that they get resolved positively and constructively. Usually each side has to swallow their pride and stubbornness in order to find a better way. But is compromise what we mean when we talk about making peace? When we pass the peace to one another on a Sunday morning, or when we used to do that, and say, may the peace of Christ be with you. What is it that we're saying? Are we merely wishing each other peace and tranquility? Or is there something more? When we look at the biblical word that's translated here, peace, in the New Testament, it comes from the Hebrew word shalom. And shalom is a word that to translate into English, it takes pages, okay? But to boil it down to its essence, I think it means this. I wish you everything that will make for your well-being and wholeness. I wish you the very best in all of your relationships. May they be whole and wholesome. It's not merely, I hope you will be free of conflict. It's so much more than that. It involves seeking your highest good, what is best for you. Now, think about the Beatitudes in the context of Isaiah 61, which is the basis for them. Jesus said, or Isaiah wrote, and Jesus said this too in his first sermon at Nazareth, but the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed. He is to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to release and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. So my question is, who is Jesus talking about, and who are these people in our society today? Who are the oppressed? Who are the brokenhearted? Who are the captives and the prisoners and those that mourn? And to whom can we offer God's shalom, God's wholeness and well-being? Those are questions I think we need to ask ourselves today. If you look back at the reading from Ephesians chapter 2, we find that Christ broke down the dividing walls of hostility that divided Jew from Greek, male and female. We are one in Christ Jesus. He took those who were far away and brought them near. We have some good imagery here. I'm going to, if we can get that up on the screen, the temple in Jerusalem. Here you have the royal porch, and then you have the court of the Gentiles, okay? So anyone could come into the court of the Gentiles, okay? That's where they had the money changers and sold the sacrifices for the temple. Inside of there, you had the court of the women, and on the entrance into the court of the women, there was a sign over the top, a thing over the top that said, any Gentile who enters here does so at pain of death. Okay? So you're not welcome here. Okay? So here's the court of the women. Then there's the court of the men, Jewish men. And inside, here's the court of the priests. And the inner court and the holy place. Here's the altar. Okay? The holy place is where a priest would go on the Day of Atonement. That's the only day that the priest would go into the holy place. Okay? So these are those that are far away. You who are far off have been brought near. Jesus came to break down the dividing walls of hostility, to break down these so that all have access to God. Okay? The barriers Jesus came to break down between people so that we could see ourselves as one humanity whom God loves. Paul said, now because of Christ, dying that death and shedding that blood, you who were once altogether out of it are in on everything. The Messiah has made things up between us so that we're now on this all together, both non-Jewish outsiders and Jewish insiders. He tore down the wall that we used to keep each other at a distance. He repealed the law code that had become so clogged with fine print and footnotes that it hindered more than it helped. And then he started over. Instead of continuing two groups of people separated by centuries of animosity and suspicion, he created a new kind of human being, a fresh start for everyone. Christ brought us together through his death on the cross. The cross got us to embrace, and that was the end of the hostility. Christ came and preached peace to you outsiders and peace to us insiders. He treated us as equals and so made us equals. And through him, we have equal access to the Father. Do you hear that? And can you visualize that image of the temple with its dividing walls that Christ came to break down? One group of people from another group of people, those who are inside and those who are outside, okay? Those who have power and those who have no power, okay? Jesus came to break down those barriers. It's important, I think, for us to know that and realize that. Christ wants to break down those walls that divide us from one another. And Christ wants us to be reconciled, all of our groups, to be reconciled to each other. That's the goal. That's what it means to be a peacemaker. It means to bring together opposing sides, looking for the common good so that our differences can be set aside, so that reconciliation can take place and we can see ourselves and others as God sees us, as one people, rather than being divided by gender or ethnicity, by the color of our skin, or other cause for division. God's desire for us and God's hope and dream for us is that we would be reconciled with each other and that we as followers of Christ would seek to bring reconciliation to others, to break down those walls that divide one group from another. Okay? Jesus wants us to come together. My New Testament professor, Dr. Robert Gulick, said this in his book on the Sermon on the Mount. The peacemakers are not simply those who bring peace between two conflicting parties, but those actively at work making peace, bringing about wholeness and well-being among the alienated. The passage clarifies the procedure for as being love for one's enemies, of doing good to the undeserving. It is nothing short of the love commandment itself, which takes a new focus in Jesus' ministry. The peacemakers, as the merciful, are engaged in expressing to others what they themselves have come to experience in Jesus' ministry. Do you hear that? Because we have experienced grace in our lives and we've experienced mercy in our lives, we seek to share that with those who are in bad place, those who are on the outside, those who have no power. We try to lift them up and raise them up and give them a sense of hope and encouragement because we have received that from God. My question is, to whom can we offer God's shalom today, God's wholeness and well-being? These are the questions that we need to look at today. Too often we look at these Beatitudes and we spiritualize them, as I did when I was growing up. We don't think about how they really have something to say to us today about those who are marginalized in our society, but they do. They speak to issues of injustice wherever we find it, and it behooves us to look here at home in how we perpetrate injustice here in the United States. If we go back to World War II, at the end of World War II, the GI Bill enabled white veterans to get loans to buy houses, and so suburbs sprang up in all of our major cities across the country, and they were populated by young white families just back from the war, or where spouses were back from the war, veterans were back from the war. But it limited the number of black veterans who could get loans. You see, when the bill was being drafted in 1944, Southern Democrats, or Dixiecrats, who were segregationists and who, after Nixon's Southern strategy, became conservative Republicans, Senator Richard Shelby of Alabama was the last of these, elected as a Democrat in 86, changed to a Republican in 94, and is still serving in the Senate now. But the Southern Democrats, Dixiecrats, feared the returning black veterans would use public sympathy for veterans to advocate against Jim Crow laws. And so to make sure that the GI Bill largely benefited whites, they drew tactics that they had previously used to ensure that the New Deal helped as few black people as possible. John Rankin, who was the chair of the House Veterans Committee from Mississippi, insisted that the program be administered by individual states instead of by the federal government. Rankin was known for his virulent racism and his defense of segregation, and he even proposed legislation to confine and then deport every person with Japanese heritage during World War II. The upshot of all of this is that when white veterans came back from the war and new communities were built up in the suburbs, black veterans remained as renters and had little chance to build equity and wealth that home ownership provided white working and middle class families. We white folk have benefited from that injustice. Peacemaking and peacemakers are those who work on behalf of those that are oppressed to right the injustices that have been inflicted upon them. This is not the task for the faint of heart. Working on behalf of those who are powerless and on the outside of political power structures face an uphill battle to change the minds and hearts of those who hold power. When the powerful feel threatened, they call for law and order to squelch the voices who are oppressed and crying to be free. We've seen that time and time again, going back to the steel workers and auto workers trying to unionize back in the early 1900s to get better working conditions and better pay and benefits. We have seen that in the civil rights movement and Martin Luther King and others at Selma, where they were beaten bloody by white police officers there as they crossed the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Seeking the right to vote, okay? We who hold power don't give it up easily, okay? And we use whatever power we have to hold those who would seek to take it from us or seek to gain some power that we already have. We just lost a pillar of the civil rights movement in John Lewis, one of the great Americans, fighters for civil rights. He was beaten bloody on that bridge back in, was it 63? And got a concussion, but that did not deter him from keeping on the fight for civil rights and equal justice for all, for the black community. Okay? He died on Friday evening after a long struggle with cancer. And our nation will be poorer because of his death. Okay? He was a hero in many, many, many ways. We have seen it again in Washington just recently, where peaceful demonstrators in Lafayette Park were tear gassed by police and mounted police and the National Guard troops so the president could have a photo op holding a Bible in front of the church there. To quote Dr. Gulick again, peacemakers are not simply those who bring peace to two conflicting parties, but those who actively work making peace, bringing about wholeness and well-being among the alienated. The passage clarifies the procedure as being love for one's enemies and of doing good to the undeserving. It is nothing short of the love commandment itself, which takes a new focus in Jesus' ministry. The peacemakers, as the merciful, are engaged in expressing to others what they have come to experience in Jesus' ministry. Peacemakers tear down walls that divide one group from another. Peacemakers do not build walls. We tear them down. The beatitude for today is, oh, the bliss of one who does things that make for peace, who brings people together, for they shall be called the children of God. So let us live. Amen. Let us pray. God, your word challenges us in more ways than we like to admit. And you confront our own prejudices and bigotry. You challenge us to work for justice for all people in our nation and around the world. You call us to open our eyes and our ears to hear the cry and to see the cries of the unheard. May we begin to open our hearts to them and help us to recognize how privileged we have been because of the systems that have been put in place that favor people that look like us. Amen. God, as we leave this place today, continue to challenge our faith in how we live. Open our hearts and minds to those whose experiences have been much different from our own. Give us courage to speak out on their behalf, to stand with them as they seek justice. Help us to overcome our silence and complicity. Now may you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may the God of peace sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful and will do this. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and always. Amen. Thank you.